all safe and warm and his. Chapter 8. Brooke stretched her toes toward Tegan, but found his side of the bed empty and cold. Frowning, she cracked her sleepy eyes open, then sat up. The soft tink-tink of metal on metal sounded from somewhere outside. From the soft, gray light peeking in through the crack between the blackout curtains she'd put up. It was early in the morning. He probably had to go to work soon, but still, she was a little disappointed he hadn't said goodbye. After last night, he was vital to her now. A louder clang of metal sounded, and she slipped from bed and turned off the humming window unit to hear better. She slid her boots over her pink flannel pajama pants and pulled her coat on to cover her northern half because she was definitely not putting a bra on this early. Tegan wasn't in the bathroom or the living room. Water splashed onto her face and teeth brushed. She pushed the door open to investigate the grating noise. Tegan looked up from the side of her car where a pile of tools sat haphazardly. His hands were covered in grease, and he was holding a metal bar of some sort. He gave her a megawatt smile and said, "Your brakes won't squeak anymore. I replaced them. They were due."
"You changed my brake pads?"
"Yeah." He stood, looking worried. "Is that okay? I don't like the thought of you going down those back roads with old brakes."
"That's..."
Oh, God. She was not going to turn into an emotional crybaby first thing in the morning.
"That's the sweetest thing anyone has ever done for me."
"That's sad," he deadpanned, and she laughed. When the tools were back in the bucket that had been overturned, he stood and wiped his hand on a rag that had been hanging out of his back pocket. He approached slowly, but she'd be damned if he'd go back to treating her like just another friend after last night. She jumped off the last porch stair and catapulted herself into his arms. He chuckled and squeezed her tight. "You're gonna get me in trouble, woman."
"How, by hugging you?"
She clung to him tighter, and he lifted her until her feet came off the ground. "Connor is gonna maim me."
"Connor can get over it."
Tegan winced and set her back on her feet. "Yeah, about that." "T, you ready?" Dennison asked from the front of his trailer. He was loading a lunchbox into the passenger seat of an old beat-up Bronco. "Hey, Trouble," he greeted Brooke with a cheeky grin. "I should have known you were going to come in here and stir things up."
"I like the name Trouble more than Princess."
"What about Trailer Park Princess?" Hayden asked as he jogged down the stairs of his trailer next door.
"Vito," she called out. "Hey," she said, turning to Tegan. "Can I come to the job site with you guys today?"
"It's not safe up there. Then you'll be bored. I don't think that's a good idea."
"I'll sit somewhere out of the way, and I won't bother you, I swear. I want to see what you guys do all day up in those mountains. Plus, I want to bring my sketchbook and draw a new place. I was thinking of switching mediums for today and see if that'll loosen me up a little. I can't draw Marcus's face forever."
"Marcus," Tegan repeated darkly. "That's your attacker's name?"
"Yeah,"
she frowned. She hadn't said his name out loud that she could remember. And just now, she'd skated right over it without it shredding her.
"Huh. I swear you won't even know I'm there."
Tegan sighed and hooked his hands on his hips, then stared at Dennison's Bronco. "I'll make us lunch," she said, bribing him. Tegan's dark eyebrows arched, and he cocked his head at her. "You must really want to go." She laughed and bit him gently on the shoulder.
"Saucy man. Wait for me. I need 20 minutes.
"Denny," he called out, "I'm taking my truck up there. I'll come up right after you." "Okay, boss man," Dennison said with a wave. "See you up there, Trouble." He winked at her, as if he'd heard everything she'd said from way over there. Then he hopped into the driver's seat, while Hayden took shotgun. Connor got in the back seat, but his hard glare never left Tegan until the door was shut behind him. "Get to it," he said, giving her a swat on the rump. "I'm gonna go clean up real quick and put the tools away, then I'll be over to help."
Excited, Brooke bounded up the stairs, put the bacon in the skillet for a couple of BLTs, and got dressed in record time while it sizzled away in the kitchen.
By the time Tegan came through the front door, she'd figured out what he meant by not cooking bacon in a trailer kitchen. The vent was worthless, blowing the air right back in her face, and didn't suck the bacon-flavored smoke outside at all. And now the entire trailer smelled like breakfast.
Her clothes would probably smell like it until she got a minute to do laundry. You were right, she muttered under her breath. He boomed out a laugh and promised to cook the bacon in the fire pit next time she had a hankering. When the sandwiches, baggies of chips, a bowl of fruit salad, crackers and cheese cubes sat in the bottom of a cooler, she shoved her sketchbook and a set of charcoals in her satchel and headed for the bedroom to grab a hairband. Did you have breakfast already? She called out, thinking Tegan was still in the kitchen, impatiently waiting on her.
Yeah, but I'm still hungry.
He was leaning against her bedroom door with a wicked smile on his face. Heat crept up her neck as she tried to hold his naughty gaze. Hungry for what? His gaze dropped to her thighs, and he nodded his chin once.
You know what?
Wait, you mean, she screwed up her face. You want to do that? To me?
Hell yeah, he said, stalking her slowly.
She backed up until the backs of her knees hit the bed. Folding onto it, she sighed. I've never...
Good.
She squeaked as he pulled her pants down, panties and all. It was daylight, and she'd never been comfortable enough to be naked in front of a man in full light.
I like Dennison's name for you.
Trouble. He threw her pants in the corner and ran his hands down her bare thighs.
I knew you were trouble the second I saw you.
Why do I get the distinct feeling you like trouble? He chuckled low and pulled her legs until she was situated at the edge of the mattress.
You are the sexiest looking trouble I've ever found.
Yeah? Her blush became a little cooler on her cheeks. I think you're sexy, too. Hey, aren't you going to be late to work?
I'll make you come fast, he promised, apparently confident in his abilities. Cocky, sexy man.
This doesn't sound fair for you, she muttered, staring at the ceiling and wishing she was as self-assured in her body as Tegan was with his.
I'll take care of us both, he rumbled, his breath warm against the inside of her knees.
He pushed her legs open farther, and Brooke held her breath. Why would anyone willingly... Oh. Tegan bit the insides of her thighs gently, then kissed her from her knees to her sex, slowly. Now her legs were spreading without his help. She'd always fantasized about what this would feel like, but had never been tempted to ask someone to do this to her. Tegan seemed to be enjoying himself just fine. When she lifted her head, he was unzipping his pants to unsheathe his huge erection. The first kiss between her legs was scary. The second was awesome. The third had her bones melting, and on the fourth, he pressed his tongue into her and had her hips moving instinctively. The sound came from his throat, the growl she'd come to love, and vibrated against her clit as he moved his tongue against her. Lapping, sucking, licking, and she was already on the verge of tipping over the edge. It was so wet, so warm, so special, sharing this with Tegan. Tentatively, she ran her fingers through his hair and rocked her hips against the perfect rhythm he'd set. Moaning, she spun out of control, helpless to stop the noises tumbling from her throat, which seemed to spur him to thrust his tongue deeper. Breathless and arching against him, her body clenched in pleasure as she came hard. Her body pulsed as Tegan pulled away and pushed her shirt up. He was stroking himself, long and slow, and she watched a single bead of moisture form at the tip of his cock. God, he looked beautiful like this. Arms flexed, jaw tight, his gaze on her like she was the sexiest thing he'd ever seen. She wiggled under him more and lifted her shirt higher as his stroking became faster and harder. Propped on one arm, he leaned forward like he was right there, right on the edge. Brooke ran her hand up his tricep with the tattoo and gripped him there as the first jet shot onto her stomach. With each that followed, she reveled in how he made her feel. Adored, as if she was beautiful in Tegan's eyes. Warmth trickled down her sides and onto the covers, but she didn't care. She freaking loved this. She loved him. Her eyes went wide at the thought. She loved him? She hadn't used that word since her college boyfriend. Love. Love? Yes. As she watched Tegan's chest heave and eyes close against the pleasure of his release, she knew it was true. She'd never felt more right than she did right now with him. And it wasn't because he was amazing at naked parties. It was the in-between moments, too, holding her when she had nightmares, waking early to change her brake pads, making sure she had everything she could need at the barbecue last night. He was a man she could be happy with. And to make him happy in return, she needed to fix herself, needed to heal from what her attacker did to her heart, so she could be open to Tegan's affection, so she wouldn't hurt him. From this moment on, she was going to fight for herself, and in doing so, she was going to fight for Tegan. He deserved a strong woman. Chapter 9. So you guys are called the Ash Crew because you live in the Ashland Mobile Park, right? Brooke held onto the grab handle to save herself from smashing her head against the window of Tegan's truck. The roads were washed out and dangerous, but Tegan was sitting there with his arm draped across the wheel like the jarring didn't bother him at all. The Ash Crew has been around for a very long time. That trailer park was named after us.
But those trailers look about 35 years old. You can't be a day over 30.
Not named after us, exactly, but others in the Ash Crew before our time. Ashes hadn't been on this land for a decade before the sawmill opened back up.
Then why aren't there any older men in your crew? You guys all look the same age.
The side of Tegan's lip twitched, and he looked out the side window, as if he was hiding his eyes from her. There aren't many old-timers left. Too many rules, and when times started changing, they struggled to adjust. They battled each other into oblivion.
Like lumberjack wars? How had she never heard about this before?
Sort of. Not all of us are lumberjacks. Some are firefighters, some are homesteaders or ranchers. We usually lock up with others who earn the same living. And usually that living includes physical labor. It keeps us centered. Keeps us calm and able to live normal lives.
I don't understand. So crews are like an underground club? Like a motorcycle club or something? Or a gang?
Sure. His voice said he wouldn't give any more on that topic, so she made a crafty switch.
So the Ashes, the Borlanders, and the Greybacks are all lumberjack crews?
The Borlanders are cutters. They switch back and forth between our site and the Greybacks. They go down the mountainside and cut the trees.
Look, he said, pulling to a stop and pointing. Sure enough, the side of the hill was covered in felled trees. They looked like messy stacks of toothpicks from here. At the top was what looked like a work area with gigantic machines.
They leave one tree up, called a lift tree. They pick a big, sturdy one, and that's what we attach the cables to.
He dragged his finger through the air, across a long cable traveling down the mountain.
That's called the skyline. We have a machine that can haul logs up using that, but they need a crew down there attaching the cables to the lumber.
That's my job. She found it fascinating and leaned forward. Pointing to an enormous red machine with a long arm off to the side of the clearing, she asked, "What's that machine called?"
"That's the processor. Connor runs that one. Watch the arm there."
Finger-like metal appendages reached down the hill to a pile of rough logs. With one in its grip, the tree was pulled through the claws and stripped of its limbs. Then the ends were cut off to make a clean log. A trio of logs was hooked to cables hanging off the skyline, and they were dragged up the side of the mountain so fast she gasped. "Isn't it dangerous being down there with that kind of equipment flinging all around?"
"Very. It's dangerous up on the landing, too. You have to keep your head at all times. Make sure you trust your crew."
"And," he said, reaching into the back seat,
"you always wear a hard hat. Always."
He placed the cold yellow thing over her head and made sure it was snug before he pulled on his own.
"I'm going to set you up behind the landing and well out of the way of the cable so I don't spend the day worrying about you. Promise me you won't go wandering around, though, okay?"
"Okay, I promise."
She gave a private smile and looked at the passing trees as Tegan sped up again.
"What?"
he asked.
"Nothing."
"Brooke," he growled out.
"I just think it's cute when you get all worried and protective."
"Yeah, well, protective instincts are part of the territory with me now, especially after what we did last night."
The last part was mumbled, as if he didn't mean for her to hear it. Tegan parked near Dennison's Bronco and jogged around the front of the truck while she finagled the cooler out of the back. He opened her door and reached over her lap to help. Her breath froze in her throat as her body instantly responded to him, her nerve endings electrifying. He gripped her waist and snuck a glance to the landing, then back. With a naughty grin, he dipped forward and nipped her lip.
"You want to wear my jacket today?" he asked in a gruff voice.
"So you can be reminded about last night? No, no, no. You need to be careful out here, remember? Since it's so dangerous and all." She kissed him again gently, just a peck, to show him she cared. "But thank you for the offer."
"You know, it wasn't just for me," he argued. "The wind is harsher up here in the hills, and your jacket is too thin."
His gaze dipped to the crease between her legs.
"You could put it over your lap."
She tapped on his hard hat thoughtfully with her fingernails, then nodded. "You win. I'll bring your jacket." His grin grew bigger, reaching his eyes until they danced.
"Good. I like the thought of it on your lap even better."
He leaned forward and whispered into her ear.
"Because then it'll smell like you, all hot and ready for me."
He nibbled her earlobe, tickling her until she giggled and shoved his shoulder. "You have a one-track mind, you little beast," she said, trying to look serious. From the amusement swimming in his eyes, she'd failed.
"I am a beast," he declared.
His smile faded.
"You do best to remember that."
He grabbed the cooler and helped her from the truck, then led her up the hill to a group of large boulders well out of the way of danger, but where she could see everything going on.
"Lunch is in 3 hours," he said. "I'll come get you."
"Hey," she said as he made to leave. "I like you." A slow, hopeful-looking smile crooked his lips.
"I like you too, Brooke."
Gathering her hands in his, he kissed her knuckles lightly, like he had in the grocery store, then jogged nimbly down the hillside toward the landing. Her hands were warm where his lips had touched her skin. His jacket smelled like him, woods and man, and some sort of crisp, clean-smelling body wash, and something more in the undercurrents. She pulled another breath and frowned in concentration. Animal?
The mixture of his scents was so alluring, she inhaled 3 more times before she settled the jacket under her lap and pulled her art supplies from her satchel.
The next few hours she spent in observation. Time flew as she tried to figure out everyone's job. Tegan seemed to be the boss up here, but he worked down with the crew. He held a walkie-talkie, and from where she sat, seemed to speak to Kellen, who ran the main machine that dragged logs, and Connor on the processor. In between hauls, he, Dennison, Brighton, and Bruiser hooked giant cables around felled logs, then ran to the edges of the clearing to get out of the way of the machinery that dragged them up the hill. She couldn't even imagine how awful it would be for one of her friends to get caught under those lumber-heavy cables. It rocked with power and dragged the logs so fast it could crush the crew with one little misstep. To eradicate those awful thoughts, she pressed charcoal sticks to sketch paper and shadowed and smudged with her fingers to sculpt the picture she wanted. She'd meant to draw the new scenery since it was absolutely beautiful up here if she ignored the strip of felled, dead logs down the mountainside. But instead of drawing pines or birds or the river that snaked through the valley below, she drew Tegan. And not just Tegan, but the machinery and the other men as well. She tried to capture the seriousness in Kellen's eyes when he turned in the seat of the machine he worked, and the focus on Tegan's face when he was making sure his crew was out of the way and safe. She drew Dennison's grin after he told a joke, and Brighton as he stood on the landing with his back to her at the wide world beyond.
"Those are pretty good,"
Connor said from behind. Brooke gasped and jumped so hard, her charcoal skittered across Hayden's eyebrow. "He scared me," she said, closing the sketchbook. It felt weird to share unfinished drawings with him.
"Didn't mean to. I asked Tegan if I could show you around the landing while they hook up the next bunch of logs."
His voice sounded bitter, as if it tasted bad that he had to ask Tegan for permission on anything. She looked down the hill at Tegan, who was watching her with his hands on his hips. He nodded once. He had told Connor he could show her around then. "Okay," Brooke said, unsteadily getting to her feet. She gathered her things, but Connor took the satchel and shouldered it.
"Let me," he said, folding Tegan's jacket over his forearm and offering her a hand as she climbed down the boulder.
With a polite smile, she hid her desire for Tegan and his touch right now. After she slipped her palm from Connor's, she made her way down the hillside with him, Drew was sawing loops of cables, and he looked up and grinned as they passed. A whistle blasted, and she hunched into herself against the noise. It had been sounding all morning, but down here, it was almost deafening.
"That's Dennison letting Kellen know he's clear to drag the lumber up the hill. It means everyone is out of the way," Connor explained.
"Oh." A whistle sounded from farther off, and she looked at him with arched eyebrows.
"That's the Graybacks. Their site isn't too far away. Close enough for us to hear their whistle."
"Doesn't Kellen get confused between the two?"
"No, no. If our boss moves our sights closer together, it could cause a problem."
His blonde hair fluttered in the breeze under his hard hat, and dimples bracketed his mouth as he smiled and dragged his gaze from her boots to her eyes.
"Damn, girl, you do look good in a hard hat."
Brooke narrowed her eyes. "You work the processor, right?" Lightning cracked in the distance, and the clouds above let off the first drops of an early spring storm. Cold splats of water hit her arms as she crossed them over her chest like a shield.
"Come on, I'll show you the machine I work. The boys will stop for lunch soon, but we've got a few minutes."
The cab of the machine was small, but fit them both comfortably. If she sat on Connor's knee, which he insisted on, until she growled and gave in, he showed her all the levers and what they did, and then he placed her hand on the main one and guided her through picking up a log and stripping it. She had to admit, having control of heavy machinery was empowering and addictive. She did three more logs with Connor's help, then one by herself. It was then that she noticed Connor's hands on her waist, his thumb stroking her back. Stiffening, she jerked away from him. "I think I should go."
"Go where?" he asked, gripping her waist again.
"Stop it, Connor. I'm with Tegan." She didn't know why she said that. They weren't to the phase yet when they were claiming each other publicly, but Connor was way too handsy for her comfort. He was charming and handsome, but sometimes his eyes went cold, like they were doing now, and he reminded her of Marcus.
"He has no claim to you, Brooke. That's not how this works. Not up here with us."
"What?" she asked, backing out of the doorway. Connor stood and ducked the frame.
"Tegan has to abide by rules, just like the rest of us do. You aren't with him, Brooke. You aren't with anyone. I have just as much right to you as he does."
The metal steps had grown slick in the rain that was coming down harder now. Panic clogged her throat. Marcus had followed her like this, stalked her until she was cornered. She wouldn't let that happen again with another man as long as she lived. Swallowing a whimper, she climbed down the side of the machine as fast as she could.
"What are you doing?"
Connor yelled and grabbed her jacket. A scream lodged in her throat as she bucked away from his touch, away from Connor and Marcus and anyone who wanted to hurt her. Her vision blurred with her frantic need to escape, and she lurched out of her jacket. Losing her balance, she tumbled down the last step and tried to catch herself on the grate. The scream she tried to swallow burst out as Connor reached for her and missed. Pain, jagged and dark, slashed up her arm as she caught sharp metal and tumbled to the ground. She landed hard in the damp dirt below. Her tailbone ached, but that wasn't what had her gasping in pain. Her hand wept red from a deep gash across her palm. Her nerve endings were burning, and she clutched it to her chest so she wouldn't see the crimson anymore.
"Fuck, why did you do that?"
Connor yelled.
"I was trying to catch you, and you jerked away from me."
He jumped to the ground beside her, looking pissed. His shadow covered her as tears streamed down the side of her face, but he disappeared with a grunt.
"Let me see it," Tegan said softly, suddenly there.
He tugged at her hand and opened her fingers with a gentle touch.
"Shit."
He stood and glared at Connor, who was sitting in the mud with a look of pure hatred.
"I said you could show her around, Connor. I trusted you not to let her get hurt. She jerked away from me when I was trying to catch her." "Were you pushing up on her?"
Connor's eyes narrowed.
"I have just as much right to her as you do. More so even. I called her. I saw her first."
"So that's a yes. She's an abuse victim, you asshole. You can't handle her like that. She's not some plaything you claim as your own like some spoiled child."
"But the rules say, fuck the rules."
Tegan was yelling now, and red crept up his neck until he looked truly scary. His eyes looked different. His face looked savage. Brooke stood slowly, clutching a throbbing hand to her stomach.
"It's okay. It was my fault. I felt cornered and panicked. Please don't fight."
All of the men gathered around them now, shifting their weight like they were uncomfortable. Kellen shoved through the crowd and pulled her hand out to examine it. Her palm felt like it had been lit on fire when he pried her fingers open.
Fuck the rules? Connor asked, blonde eyebrows arched high. Those rules are in place to keep us safe, to keep us alive, to keep us from killing each other like the old-timers did.
No, this rule is an old-timer rule. It's archaic and doesn't fit anymore.
The claiming rule is archaic, an unfamiliar man asked from the outskirts of the loose circle. The change in the Ash crew was instant, lowering themselves, tilting their chins to expose their necks, casting their eyes downward. Kellen sank to his knees beside her, but Tegan remained upright, his shoulders rigid as he backed protectively in front of her.
That's right, Tegan snarled, his voice dipping low and gravelly. Choosing a woman shouldn't just be on the man. She should have a say in it, too.
Choosing a woman. Don't you mean choosing a mate? Second?
The man stepped into the center of the circle. He was tall and lean as a whip. He stood straight, his chin high as he looked down at her, as if he knew his place in the world, and it was on top of the food chain. His sandy brown hair was cropped short, and he had the most unusual color of brown, green eyes. His hand snaked out and grabbed hers in a lightning-fast move. She moaned in pain as he spread her fingers wide. She struggled to rid herself of his agonizing grasp, but he held on tighter with surprising strength.
You aren't healing. He slid a cold glance to Tegan. And she smells like you. Fucking a human, are we?
He made a clucking sound behind his teeth and shook his head. His words made her insides turn to jagged shards of ice. A human? Connor stood, and a slow smile transformed his face to something wicked.
Don't!
Tegan inched closer to her and cocked his head, his eyes pleading with the stranger.
Please don't, Jed. She can leave. She's not a part of this place.
Ha!
Jed huffed out.
Not yet.
He yanked her arm and threw her into the center of the circle. She landed hard in the mud on her hands and knees and whimpered at the pain in her hand as it hit wet earth.
I got a call from Connor yesterday that brought me back early. He said a challenge has been issued.
Jed rolled his head and glared at Tegan with an empty smile.
Now you know how much I like a good bear fight.
Tegan crouched down in front of Brooke, and a snarl ripped through his body. Brooke's heart was pounding so hard her chest hurt. She couldn't catch her breath as panic choked her. What had she stumbled into? She thought these were her friends, but maybe she was wrong.
Jed, Kellen said. Tegan's right on this one.
Jed reached back and slapped Kellen across the cheek. But when Brooke looked back at him, four perfect, deep claw marks were etched into his skin, and Jed's nails now looked inhumanly long.
Holy shit, she whispered. Tegan, what's happening?
She touched his back, but the muscles there were stiff and unyielding. His only answer was the furious-sounding, inhuman growl that rattled from his chest. This wasn't like the one he gave her when he was happy. This was the most dangerous sound she'd ever heard.
I forbid you to change,
Jed spat out at Kellen. He jabbed a finger at Dennison and smiled cruelly.
I forbid you to change.
He went around the circle and said it to everyone but Connor and Tegan. The others looked at her with helpless expressions, as if they wanted to do something, but couldn't. Brighton fell to his knees, gritting his teeth, and she could have sworn moisture rimmed his eyes.
Connor, Jed said, you issued a formal challenge for Second, and for this piece of shit human. I don't know why you want her. She's not very curvy or womanly looking. And she reeks of Tegan, but hey, to each his own. You want a challenge? As your alpha. I sanction it. First to turn her gets her.
No,
Tegan yelled, his voice transforming to a roar that rattled the trees. Brooke stared in horror as Connor's face elongated and his body became bigger. Fur shot from his skin, dark and thick, and with a series of pops that sounded like snapping bones, an enormous grizzly bear burst from him. Tegan's hand was on her leg as he pushed her backward, inch by inch.
Do you choose him?
He asked in a strained voice. Connor, the bear, lowered to all four legs and stepped forward. She couldn't breathe. This wasn't happening. Bears didn't come out of men. They just didn't.
She blinked rain from her eyes as another sob tore from her throat. Taken turned and repeated louder, "Do you choose him? Do you choose this life?"
"No,"
she screamed. "Of course she didn't fucking choose Connor. He was a bear. A bear who was stalking closer like he was going to kill her."
"Brooke," Taken said. The seriousness of his tone pulled her attention. "Run."
"I don't understand."
"Run," he bellowed, his voice sounding fearsome as it tapered off into a snarl. Chest heaving, she backed away slowly. Her body felt numb. If she tried to escape now, her legs would lock up and she'd fall again.
Taken stood slowly in the fine mist as Connor charged, shaking the earth with every pounding step. And just as he reached Taken, a blonde-colored grizzly exploded from the man she loved.
"Bear, bear, bear,"
she chanted under her breath as the two locked in a violent battle.
"Run, Brooke,"
Kellen gritted out. His face sagged as if the effort to say that had leached his energy. Red dripped in rivers down his face. But already, the slashes across his cheek were beginning to close.
"Please,"
he begged in a broken whisper. And suddenly, she wasn't numb anymore. She wanted to live. She'd survived Marcus, and her drive to outlast Jed's sick order was enough to dump adrenaline into her veins and make her want to fight. Legs pumping, she blasted through the circle and away from the bears. An echoing slap and bellow of pain sounded, and she flinched, hoping desperately that Taken would be okay. He was back there trying to protect her. She didn't understand any of this, couldn't wrap her head around what had just happened. But she knew that deep down, bear or not, Taken was trying to buy her precious time. She ran down the slippery road, her boots growing heavier with each step as mud caked them. Pushing her legs harder, she lifted her knees higher to accommodate the added weight. The pain in her hand was nothing but a dull ache now as she ran for her life. She threw the door to Taken's truck open and scrambled in as fast as she could.
"Keys, keys, keys,"
she whispered, searching frantically for them with trembling fingers. Glinting metal shone from the cup holder, and she grabbed the jingling chain and jammed the biggest key into the steering column. The engine turned and roared to life. She'd done well not to look behind her, but now, with the truck facing the landing, it was impossible for her to avoid it. She had to see if Taken was okay before she spun out of here. Fumbling to turn on the windshield wipers, her eyes went wide as she got a glimpse of the dark grizzly, Connor, charging her way with Taken on his heels. With a shriek, she jammed the gas and spun out in a wide circle, the tailgate hovering right at the edge of the road before she straightened out and fishtailed her way down toward the trailer park. She was sobbing now, trying hard to fit the world into what it used to be, one where she wasn't called a human like it was a curse word, and where giant snarling bears didn't live inside of men. Taken was a bear man. A werebear? He'd played her, strung her along as if they had a chance at a future. So many secrets. Clearly he was part of a world she didn't understand and didn't belong in. And now, because she'd unknowingly gotten in too deep, she was fighting for her life. Taken was fighting for her life, too. She should have left Ashland Mobile Park that first day, just like her instincts had screamed for her to. Her rearview mirror was terrifying. It showed Connor gaining on her. Taken slammed him against the side of the mountain, but the dark-furred grizzly wouldn't be deterred. His eyes seethed with rage, a black fury that said he was going to kill her. She was already going dangerously fast, but pressed the gas to the floorboard anyway. If she flew off the side of the cliff, it would be a less painful death than the one that was coming for her. At each curve, she drew nearer to the edge of the road as she slid this way and that. Desperate to keep control of the truck, she gripped the steering wheel until her knuckles went white. The tail end of the truck flew sideways and smashed into the rock face that shot up toward the heavens. She lurched in her seat and screamed as she tried to straighten out again. Connor hit the back of the truck again, and as soon as she'd gained control, a quick peek into the rear view showed Taken lunging and sinking his teeth into the dark bear's neck. She sped off and left them there,
wiping her rain-water-soaked hair away from her eyes. She narrowed her gaze on the road in front of her and vowed that she was going to make it out of this alive. The road led right past the trailer park. The truck had been damaged in Connor's attacks and made a metallic clanking noise that grew louder and louder by the moment. She hit the gravel road to the trailers, but slammed on her brakes when she almost barreled into a massive gray-colored bear.
"I don't understand," she whispered.
Jed told his crew they couldn't turn into bears, right? It sounded important when he'd said it, as if they couldn't disobey. So why was this bear allowed to break the rule, he'd said? Her eyes went wide as he stood to his full height in front of her. Unless this was Jed.
"Oh, shit," she murmured.
The bear stood between her and the Volvo, and Tegan's truck sure wasn't going to make it to town with the noises it was making. She needed her car to escape. Gripping the wheel, she screamed, "Come on!" and slammed her foot onto the gas. Jed charged, but she stayed the course until the last possible moment. Then she slammed on the brake and jerked the wheel, spinning the truck until the back of it smashed into the bear. The driver's side door ripped off before she recovered from the deploying airbag. Jed's empty, soulless eyes glared at her in triumph as he reached a giant paw into the cab of the truck. She slid as far away as she could, but it wasn't enough. She was going to die after all. After everything she'd been through, everything she'd lived through, her life was going to end at the claws of a monster. A flash of gold blasted across the front window, and Jed toppled backward with a furious roar. Tegan, he was here, still fighting to add minutes to her life. Boneless, she fell out of the opening Jed had ripped into the truck. On wobbly legs, she ran for her trailer. The keys to her Volvo were inside 1010, and she was going to lose precious seconds retrieving them, but it couldn't be helped. The rhythmic breathing of bears dragged her frightened gaze behind her just as she reached the center of the park. She was horrified to realize Tegan and Jed were both racing toward her. Tegan in the lead. She ran faster, her legs threatening to freeze with her fear. With a grunt, Tegan knocked her legs out from under her, and she fell forward, nose inches away from the Volvo's back tires. His eyes were sad as he leaned his big block head toward hers. They seemed to apologize for every wrong that had ever been done. She didn't understand. Jed was coming. Why had Tegan pinned her here in the dirt? "Tegan," she whispered, terrified. He curled his lips back, revealing impossibly long canines. His eyes dipped to the scar Marcus had left on her neck with a look of such regret. She screamed as Tegan sank his teeth into her shoulder. Chapter 10. Brooke's body went rigid, as if she'd been electrified. Pain stabbed down her shoulder, eased, then shot farther, reaching into her chest. Clenching her teeth, she threw her head back and gritted out a groan. She'd never felt pain like this. Tegan had sunk his teeth into her shoulder until he hit bone. But that couldn't be what was causing her body to seize like this. Agony spread through her with inky tendrils, growing bigger and fuller until she was filled with glass edges that shredded her insides to pieces. She cried out as she burned. Tears streamed down the corners of her eyes as she clenched her hands against what was happening to her. Tegan watched her with the saddest look she'd ever seen in an animal's eyes. The ground shook as Jed charged, but when Tegan stepped out of the way, the giant gray bear skidded to a stop beside her. His nostrils flared and his eyes sparked, but he didn't add to her pain. He didn't attack. He only stood there, watching and waiting for her. Something. The pain drained from her arms and legs and centered in her middle, writhing like some snake caught in her gut. Her breaths came in short pants, so fast she thought she'd faint. Tegan had done this to her. She was dying, and it was all his fault. "Why?" she rasped out. Tegan shook his head slowly and stood over her, lowering himself to his elbows. The blonde bear scooped up her crumpled body and pulled her against his chest. She wished his closeness comforted her now, but she was on fire in the middle. She was burning alive. His fur tickled her cheek, and she clutched onto his side, grasping his hide in her clenched fist. The tears came harder as she imagined dying without ever finding out why he'd betrayed her like this. The fire burned hotter inside of her, and she squeezed her eyes tightly closed and pressed her face against his wet fur. His heartbeat pounded against her belly. No, not his heartbeat. That bum, bum, bum was coming from within her. Now it was growing stronger and faster. This was it. The pain was blinding with each pulse, and she bowed her back when she couldn't stand it anymore. She shattered. Grew. Broke. Reshaped. Red fur shot from her body like a million needles pricking her skin at once. Claws ripped open her hands, and her scream of anguish tapered to a feral-sounding bellow. Tegan stumbled backward, and his soft blue eyes went wide as his gaze trailed across her new form. Jed curled his lips once, then meandered off toward the trees. She wasn't dead. Looking down at her fur, shining auburn in the clouded light, she huffed a breath. Steam curled from her long muzzle. She heaved herself upward and stood, unsteadily, on all fours, legs splayed like a newborn colt. This new body was powerful. She raked her front claws through the dirt, and it tilled the earth as if they'd been made to do just that. Her breath slowed as she dragged her gaze back to Tegan. His muzzle was darker than the longer fur that covered his back and legs. His chest rose and fell as he watched her. In size, he was enormous compared to her. From here, she could make out each fine whisker near his nose, and hear every beat of his heart. Her senses were overwhelmed with the wet smells of the forest. Evergreen sap, moss, blood, animals, damp dirt. She could identify it all. What if she was trapped as a bear forever? Dragging a long breath of air, she scrambled backward until her stumped tail hit the park fence. Change back! Change back! Change back! Closing her eyes, she concentrated on what she used to look like. Long blonde hair, champagne-colored eyes, dark lashes, lips a little on the small side. The bear who'd stolen her skin didn't go away. The other men in Tegan's crew appeared out of the mist like apparitions. They looked as uncertain as Tegan did. All but Kellen. Kellen was smiling.
So we can keep her? He asked.
The world began spinning, and the lightheadedness only got worse as she tried to take a step forward. Her breathing became shallow, and she closed her eyes against the urge to retch. Her hide went cold under her fur, and her hair stood on end, making her body tingle. The horizon went belly up as she swayed and hit the ground. The last thing she saw was Tegan charging toward her, just like he had before he turned her into a monster. Brooke opened her eyes to gray morning light filtering through the edges of her blackout curtains. Her new senses told her she wasn't alone in her room, but she was hurt, and not in any rush to face the man who turned her into what she was now. She lifted her hand and stared at the long cut she'd gotten from the processor yesterday. Already, it was almost healed. More proof she wasn't the same. Wasn't human anymore. She clenched her hand into a fist and sighed, then rolled over to face her demons. Tegan was sitting in a chair against the wall, elbows on his knees, hands clasped in front of his mouth, staring at her. He looked like he hadn't moved in ages. Kellen, Dennison, and the others stood and sat in various positions around the room, quiet and somber as she looked at each one in turn.
Go on, Tegan said low. She's okay.
One by one, they came and touched her knuckles on the hand that had been hurt. None of them said a word, and none of them met her eyes. Then they left her alone with Tegan. I'm not okay, she said in a hoarse voice.
I know. I didn't know what else to do.
You could have not bit me. Her voice wrenched up an octave as fury flooded her veins. Jed was going to kill you. I broke the rules
by fighting Connor instead of racing him to turn you. Jed doesn't kill his own kind, though. Not anymore. Turning you was the only way I could think to save you.
Where is Connor?
Dead.
You killed him?
He swallowed hard and looked away toward the window. In a choked voice, he said, Yes. I couldn't kill my alpha, though. It took all I had just to fight Jed off you. His voice hitched as he dragged his tortured gaze back to her. This isn't the life I wanted for you, Brooke. For us, I wanted you to have a choice about it.
A choice about it? You marked me, just like Marcus did, but worse. You put a bear inside of me.
She swallowed a sob and jerked her eyes to Tegan's feet with the admission that came from her mouth.
You should have let him kill me.
Tegan's face crumpled, and moisture that had rimmed his eyes fell down his cheeks. He looked ill as he covered his mouth and shook his head slowly. Don't say that. His voice came out a whisper. She couldn't watch him cry. It gutted her, knowing he was hurting too. She sat up and forced the demand from her lips.
Tell me about what I am.
Tegan sniffed and leaned back in the chair, straightened one leg, and stared at the toe of his work boot. You're a bear shifter now. With practice, you'll be able to shift as often as you want.
I don't want that. How often do I have to shift?
Once a month, at least. He lifted his eyes back to hers. You're asking this because you're leaving, aren't you?
Yes.
She gasped and tried not to cry at the way her heart felt like it was being ripped from her chest with the word. She didn't want to leave him, didn't want to leave this place or crew. She wasn't done healing yet.
I came here to get better, and now I'm...
She bit her lip and wished she was good with words, good at making him understand they wouldn't work if she stayed and didn't deal with this away from here.
If I stay, I won't get better. I won't forgive you. And I want to. This place is amazing. It's suited for what I am now. But I wanted to come out here to get stronger, and I can't depend on you to lift me up with this. I need to get to know the animal inside of me without you dragging me up the mountain of issues I have. I need to do this on my own.
I understand. He said the words, but his eyes looked just as betrayed as she felt right now. When? She stared at him for moments, gathering her strength so her voice wouldn't crack.
Today.
His face fell and he stood. Wiping his face on the shoulder of his shirt, he strode to the door. At the frame, he turned and murmured over his shoulder, I'm sorry. Then he left. Curled in a ball on the bed, she cried for a long time. Cried for the humanity she'd lost. Cried for the half-healed scars Marcus had left on her heart. Cried for the new ones Tegan had given her. She cried because she'd been so close to finding herself again here, only to be transformed into something totally different. She cried at having to start all over again. But most of all, she cried for what she and Tegan could have been. Damn Jed and Connor. Damn them to hell for the wedge they jammed between her and the man she loved. It wasn't fair. None of this was fair. With her eyes full and her heart broken, she dressed, packed her things, and made the bed. Then she took one last look at the bedroom she'd made into an art studio. Paintings of Marcus still littered the floor. She stacked them all neatly into a corner and left them there. She'd missed 1010, this rickety old trailer, but she left the paintings because she wanted this place to remember she'd been here. She wanted to stamp her mark on this little home in the woods, like it had stamped itself into her heart. When she dragged her luggage outside, Kellen was waiting for her. He took the suitcase from her hands and packed it into the trunk of the Volvo as the others stood by, looking as sad as she felt. Tegan wasn't anywhere to be seen. She knew, because she looked for him.
He doesn't like goodbyes, Kellen said.
He told us not to beg you to stay. He looked toward Tegan's trailer, and when Kellen looked back at her, his dark eyes pooled with grief. Without another word, he opened the car door for her and stepped back beside the others. She didn't know what to say. How did she say goodbye to people she cared about so deeply?
She'd failed at making Tegan understand, and she would fail with them too. She took a long, steadying breath and said her deepest wish instead.
I hope this isn't the last time I see you.
Goodbye, Trouble,
Dennison said softly as she sank into the driver's seat. As she pulled away, she watched them through the rearview mirror. Tegan came from his trailer at the last minute, fingers locked behind his head and chin tilted up as he watched her leave. The pain on his face almost doubled her over. She was leaving a piece of her heart in Ashland Mobile Park, and in return for saving her, she was taking a part of his with her. She was the worst. She had to do this, though. Tegan deserved a strong woman, and perhaps she could be that someday. It wouldn't happen here, though. Not now. Not with him coddling her the entire way. As the trailer park disappeared out of sight, she swore she would forgive him someday. But for right now, she had questions only Meredith could answer. She had a life and a knot of loose ends to rid herself of.
Chapter 11. The last 3 months had been hell.
Tegan shouldered a log and tossed it up onto the trailer. He didn't usually show his strength this close to the log buyer, who was human and would be here any minute to check the lumber. But damn it, if he didn't work out some of his frustration, he wouldn't sleep tonight. Again. He was alpha now. Not because he chose to be responsible for the entire crew, but because if he hadn't challenged Jed after what he'd done, Tegan's bear would have shredded his humanity. He'd ordered Brooke to be hurt, an act that Tegan wasn't capable of letting go. For the first 2 months after Brooke had left, he'd burned for vengeance. Connor's death wasn't enough to soothe the animal inside of him, and Jed had taunted him, compared Tegan to himself, said he practically was him, separated from his mate, and destined for a slow descent into insanity. But mated or not, Tegan would never treat his crew as shitty as that old-timer did, and his need for revenge, coupled with the necessity for new leadership, meant Jed had to go. Tegan had challenged the old alpha as soon as he was clear-minded enough. He'd stood up to Jed as soon as his bear had marinated in boiling fury, just long enough to be unstoppable. Jed had lost, and as he lay bloody, broken, and panting in the dirt, Tegan had declared his first order as the new alpha of the Ash crew. Jed was banished. Tegan snarled just thinking about him, and hefted another log onto the trailer. Kellen leaned against a tree, head canted as he watched him with the same worried expression he'd worn since the day Brooke left. Sweat dripped down Tegan's face and into his eyes, and he rubbed it clean with the sleeve of his shirt. "What's second?" he asked, lifting another log. "Nothing at all," Kellen said. "Say it and be done with it. I'm tired of you staring at me all the damn time." "You're gonna end up like Jed." "Fuck, man." Tegan gripped his hips and glared at him. "You think that's the way to fix this? Compare me to the last asshole alpha?" "Not like that, Tegan." Jed was broken because his mate left him to live in town, and he was splitting his time between his crew and his life with her. Dominance can't do that. The people your bear needs to protect have to be in one place. "That, and he was an old-timer determined to bury our crew into the ground," Tegan muttered. He couldn't believe his best friend was filling his head with the same crap Jed had tried to feed him. "And what do you want me to do about it? Brooke's gone. Not my choice." "You could bring her back." Tegan pulled his work gloves off and chucked them against the taillight of the lumber truck. "Kellen, you don't understand this. She wasn't my mate. Everything got fucked up before I could ask her."
"You mean before you could claim her?"
"She has to claim me back, man."
The words came out sounding strangled. She hadn't picked him back. Not when it counted. Not when he needed her to tell him it was okay and that she forgave him. The guilt overturning her was black water he drowned in every day. And every night he lay awake, staring at the ceiling of his trailer, wondering how he could have done it different. Fucking Jed. Fucking Connor. Fucking him for not being strong enough to challenge Jed for Alpha when it mattered, when he could have saved Brooke from being turned. I miss her, too, Kellen said quietly. He approached and placed a white envelope on the end of a log hanging from the truck. We all do.
Tegan watched him lumber away. Kellen had disappeared around a bend in the dirt road before he dared to look at the envelope again. There was no name on the return address, but it was from Boulder. With trembling hands, he opened the flap. The paper was thick and elegant, and it seemed almost a shame that his dirty fingers smudged the fine linen stock inside. You're cordially invited to view Stars of Ash Art Show by renowned artist Brooke Bell, June 3rd from 7 to 10. It had the address of a studio and a website at the bottom, and across the top were four thin panels with sneak peeks of different paintings. Recognition zinged through them. In the very last panel, a bear stood with his back to the viewer, painted in thick blacks and outlined in neon green, chaotic strokes. It looked over its shoulder at the viewer. Tegan staggered backward at the rendered picture of himself on canvas. The invitation fell into the dirt in front of him as he knelt down and scrubbed his hands over his face to stifle the pain in his heart, to stifle the joy at the idea that she still thought of him, and the hope that she'd sent him this invitation because she wanted to see him again. His mixed emotions crashed over him like an avalanche. 2 days. He had 2 days to get his shit together and get his mate back, to do whatever she needed. He'd beg her forgiveness if she'd give him the time. Tegan inhaled a long, shaky breath and looked over at his reflection in the dusty hubcap of the truck. The 3-month beard would have to go, and even he could see the ingrained sadness in his eyes now. But maybe she'd understand. He tore his gaze away from the reflection of his broken self. This could hurt him. If this was just an invitation to see her for an hour, then say goodbye forever, going to Boulder could destroy him. He'd be a worse alpha than Jed when he returned to his crew. It was a risk. He drew his gaze to where Kellen had disappeared from behind the trees. They deserved better than this. His crew was broken without her. He was a broken alpha without her. Tegan owed it to his men, and to himself, to try to bring Brooke home.
I'm nervous, Brooke admitted to Meredith, as her mentor pulled her toward another group, looking at her painting titled, Cut. All of the paintings were darker than she used to do, built up with blacks and dark grays, until the canvases were thick with paint and chaotic brushstrokes. But her starscapes had come back. Now her wooded areas just had a few extras. This painting had the processor Connor had worked, with a full moon above, and the bright stars she was known for smattered across the top half of the oversized painting.
Why are you nervous? All of your paintings have already sold. And if it's the critics you're worried about...
No, it's not that. I'm worried Tegan won't come.
Meredith pulled her to a stop and hugged her tight. She smelled like perfume, an animal, though the humans around them would never smell or suspect the latter. Brooke's heightened sense of smell had been an adjustment.
I know my boy, and I know how he feels about you. He'll be here. Meredith promised.
Her words should have settled Brooke's pounding heart, but the show was halfway over, the paintings all sold, and he still wasn't here. Maybe she'd hurt him too badly and ruined any shot they ever had.
Your eyes, dear, Meredith said as she eased back. Deep breath.
Good girl. Those eyes can't pass for human right now. You need to settle down.
Here. She said, snatching a wine glass half full of red from a passing server's tray. Sip this.
Meredith had become another type of mentor now. She coached her in blending in with the humans in the city, despite the bear that lived just under her skin. Brooke downed it like a shot of whiskey and steadied her breathing.
Already, she felt more in control.
Better? Meredith gave her a smile that crinkled the corners of her blue eyes. Eyes the same shade as her son's.
Much.
And look. She turned Brooke's shoulders slowly until she faced the door. Tegan stood there in a suit, hands in his pockets, as he watched her. She couldn't help the slow grin that took her face, or the emotion that stole her heart. Her Tegan. He'd come for her.
even after everything. He'd come. She'd worn a strapless dress tonight, owning her scars, like he'd taught her.